Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
The first circle, and what I would say that every couple needs to start with, is connection.
One of the gentlemen she was talking to every week said that her call is the only person that she talks to other than kind of medical professionals.
We have guys in Stockton, part of our team. We have a ministry team that goes around, just talks to people, knocks on doors, says hello. And the biggest thing they get response for is, can we pray for you?
Elevating the kingdom of God throughout Newcastle and the Hunter. This is Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
Hey, Rick Prosser, Kingdom Works here. Hey, it's really good to be with you again. Hey, go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. And as well, we've got an e-news that goes out every few weeks. You can subscribe to it. I'll tell you what, there's some really cool things happening in the Hunter region. The Lord's doing something amazing, and it's a great day to be alive, I'm telling you. You can subscribe to that. Go to our e-news as well for that. And we'd love to put you in contact with some of the people that we've had on our show in recent time. Maybe it's been a long time, but you're going to love the special guest today, Bella Woolley. Fantastic to have you on the program today.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
Well, Bella, just to introduce this a little bit, and so you're slightly aware, or more aware probably than most, that foster care, respite care, is a really big deal in the region, and we're doing all we can to elevate the needs and create some awareness. And so somehow we got connected, Bella, and you are been on the recipient end of the generosity, big hearts and open homes of Mark and Anne Woolley, who adopted you at 15 and fostered you at 18 months.
Yeah.
And so you've been through the whole deal, and so it's just wonderful to have you on the program with us today. So just share a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
Fostered at 18 months old.
Mm.
Any recall? Maybe not much.
Not much at all. From what I know, my parents just couldn't look after me because they were into drugs and alcohol. And so one night, the neighbours called child protection, and I got straight into foster care. I think I had a little temporary home with another family, and then at 18 months Mark and Anne fostered me permanently until I was 15, and then
wow until you were 15, and then you were adopted. Now I'm kind of thinking there's a long time between 18 months and 15 years of age. Was there a reason behind that?
Yeah, I think now that I'm older, I start to really think about why it took so long. And I always talk with Mark and Anne. I call them Mum and Dad, so refer them to Mum and Dad.
Of course.
I always talk to them about it, and they just simply said they wanted me to make the decision.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, it's always been a stable and loving home, but around the 15, 14-year-old mark, my biological dad passed away, and I think that really prompted me to start thinking, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Like, I'm so stable, I'm so safe, and if I was with any other family, my world would have been shaken. And I was thinking about adoption at that stage anyway, and I really think that just solidified it for me.
So your mum and dad didn't put the thought of adoption, do you? That just come to you.
I knew that adoption was next. I remember talking to them actually around that time and was like, what happens when I'm 18?
Yeah.
And they just said, well, you're just an adult, and you're kind of, you just enter the world.
Free to make your own decisions.
Free to make your own decisions, or you could be adopted. So we had a little chat a while ago, and that just stayed with me, and it kind of freaked me out. Because I was like, I don't want to be without you guys.
So you lost your dad at 14, your birth dad.
Yeah.
And your birth mum, still alive, and you're still in contact.
Yeah, we see Mum, especially for birthdays and Mother's Day and special occasions, and she's currently in a group home at the moment.
So your mum and dad, that was always part of the mix, to include as much as your birth family as much as they can.
I am so grateful. Mum and Dad made sure that we would see them. Like, I always saw Mum for birthdays and Mum and Dad. And I just remember Swansea Park. We always met there. So I have vivid memories of seeing my birth parents.
And siblings from your birth family?
Yeah. So I have a sister, Beck, and a brother, Daniel. I grew up seeing them. I remember seeing Daniel at Macca's and Beck as well. So we have good connections with them.
I mean,
as
you
well.
Seem to speak well of it all.
Yeah.
And so obviously you've had a good experience.
Mm.
Well, a life-saving experience, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I hear a lot of other stories and I think, man, I am so lucky. And I think it's because my carers, like Mark and Anne, were so switched on. They knew.
Mm.
They knew how to give me a stable and caring environment and were determined to keep me included in my biological family as well.
Mm.
I think I would have so many questions about my identity if I didn't see them growing up.
I mean, you're 25 now, you're studying social work.
Yeah.
Which is leaning you into this space and place. I mean, part of your placement's been with DCJ.
Yeah.
Which is all this whole world. And what was it like revisiting that world for you?
Oh, I was very scared. I'm very proud that I got through it. And I think, you know, seeing the reality out there was quite sad, like so brutal.
Tragic. Traumatic.
The common comment of, like, there's just not enough carers or there's just not enough resources to sort this problem out was heartbreaking every day.
What led you to social work?
Well, I had social workers in my life. I had caseworkers. I had really great connections with them. I felt like I had bigger sisters, you know, to look out for, and I really wanted to be that for other people who were helpless themselves.
Well, that's pretty special. Hey, if you just joined us, Rick Prosser here, Kingdom Works. My special guest, Bella Woolley. Just share us a little bit, because I mean, obviously your mum and dad brought more than a safe environment. You found the Lord, raised in the Lord, you're worshipping at a local church. I mean, how much has that contributed into your world? Reflecting back, do you know?
I can't even imagine what it would be like if I wasn't a part of church and community of safe people. Like, it really takes a village, you know, to grow up in faith, and I'm so grateful,
very powerful. Just, I mean, your mum and dad, they may listen, I don't know. and you've probably said things to them over the year, you would have undoubtedly. If you could say something to the world and to them, what might it be?
Oh, you're just my superhero. Like, you're the superheroes, the kids, I think. I'm just so grateful that they said yes. Mm. Even if they didn't know what they were saying yes to, they were obedient, and I'm so grateful for that.
So you can see throughout your journey and life how the Lord's knitted things together and brought people into your world. And
yeah, definitely. Especially my church community. It's amazing. Yeah.
In fact, you know, I think one of your friends is fostered and praying for people. I think there was a bit of a catalytic moment in your church when a foster carer dedicated the child to the Lord.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What, that's pretty
definitely
amazing.
Yeah, so there was a moment at church where this family dedicated their foster kid at church. They dedicated the child to the Lord, and that really stood out to me because I've never heard of that before. Every time there's a baby dedication, it's normally a biological family dedicating their kid. And I just remember hearing the parents say, you know, this is a gift to us, and even if it's not permanent, any gift from the Lord is something that needs to be stewarded well. And they wanted to steward this foster kid well in this church family, and that really stirred something inside me. I got to speak to them after, and that's how I got connected to Kingdom Works as well. So yeah, the Lord works.
I mean, the Lord works amazing. I mean, we fully subscribe that God's into miracles and, you know, to do anything and everything, but He works through people.
100%.
It's phenomenal that your mum and dad, Mark and Ian, were the miracle provided to you.
100%. Yeah, they're the biggest miracle. And, I just remember back on that topic, we were praying for miracles to happen in this baby's life. And I just thought, you're the biggest miracle.
Like, this is you, to the foster
parents. To the foster parents. Yeah, I said, you're the biggest miracle in this child's life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's probably appropriate right now that we just acknowledge those that are tuned in that have cared for someone else's child other than your own, whether that be for a short time in respite or long time foster care, adoption, absolute heroes. And walking miracles into lives. Just astonishing, isn't it?
It's astonishing. And it's a part of redeeming, right? What could have been lost, what could have been, you know, a pit of despair, you know, it's redeeming that from.
Beautiful. That's beautiful how you've said that. So to all of you that have done that or are doing that or are contemplating that, we just want to acknowledge you are the real heroes in the narrative of this story. But throughout our community, looking after the most vulnerable, our children, is a big deal. I mean, there's some great needs. What do you know? Are you aware just in this region of how big these needs are right now for carers? And
At the moment, there's a huge need at the moment.
It's off the charts.
It's off.
And not just for people to open up their hearts and their homes, but just for caseworkers, there's just huge needs and stuff like that. It's just such a great need. And, you know, perhaps some of our listeners might be thinking, oh, I could be in that. What would you say to them if they're contemplating to enter into this world, perhaps as a respite carer or a carer? What would you say to them?
Say yes, because the Lord will shut the door if it's not going to be opened, but he'll make a way. I encourage you to say yes and just give it a go. I remember at DCJ, like, that was a common issue, was we just can't look after this family because we don't have the resources. And that's so hard to hear, especially as a former foster kid. Like, these kids need help, but if there's no resources, then they have to say no. It's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. It's in our newspapers most days, some of these heartbreaking stories, the complexity of the system. Is you know, I think Kate Washington, the Minister for Community and Families, has acknowledged and admitted that the system's broken. And so we need whole people to enter into a broken system so that redemption can happen. Which would be really fascinating. I mean, we just have to do it. We've just got to do it. We've got to move into these places and spaces to help kids. Fond memories for you, what come to mind when you think through that journey? Well, before we go to fond memories, challenging moments in the journey for you as somebody who was brought into a caring home.
I think I was contemplating the other day that it was really hard being split from my siblings when I was a little girl. So me and my two other siblings have different homes that we grew up in. And now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to get to know them. And I just think that's so sad. Like, that is still a big challenge for me.
So a sense of loss and grief. And then trying to reconnect all those dots and maybe some missing, well, many missing years.
I said to Mum and Dad, I was like, I wish I grew up with them. I wish I saw them more or was in the same home as them, because it probably would have changed a lot for me.
Some fond memories that come to mind?
Meeting a bigger family, getting to know new people in my world, and being welcomed by new people and just experiencing such open hearts. Luna Park is always a big one of mine, going with my adopted cousins and spending the days in Sydney with them.
And so it's really, I mean, we've heard stories of people. I mean, you're a fortunate, classic, good news story. Because there's a lot of stories that aren't filled with good news. It's heartache, pain, grief, and all sorts of loss. But you seem like a confident, young woman who loves the Lord. So obviously your identity has been grounded in the foundation of stability in the home of Mark and Anne.
I think a big part of that as well is being a part of church and knowing God and having gratitude. I think If I didn't have God, if I didn't have gratitude, my mental health, my identity wouldn't have existed this way.
So would Mark and Ian, just are they just ordinary people? Or what
they're amazing people.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah. They still care for me and my sister as much as they would if we were still children.
Yep.
They always say yes. They sacrifice every day. And they never change. And I'm always amazed at how they keep saying yes.
Yeah, wow.
You know, wow. Yeah, they're amazing. They're ordinary people.
Ordinary people.
They're retired, loving their life, but loving people at the same time.
Ordinary people that just said yes.
Yeah.
And something extraordinary has emerged.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, Bella, it's been great having you on the program. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your story. It's been great having you. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
I hope you've been encouraged. There are good news stories, and the great need that we have to surface more open homes with big hearts to care for kids in our community is critical, vital right now. I want to encourage you to do something. If that's you, if you feel a sense that you could do something to help someone else, or it might just be encouraging those that are already doing it.
Yeah.
And acknowledging their significant sacrifice and their big yes in the journey. It's been great being with you on the program. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. And I look forward to joining you again soon. Bye for now.
This has been Kingdom Works on Rema FM.